On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Hello and welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed, Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. We've got a Ryan Odom special. This podcast is going to be coming out the day Ryan Odom is going to schedule to speak to the media for his introductory press conference on Monday, March 24th at John Paul Jones Arena. We saw some of the pictures of Ryan Odom getting to JPJ on Saturday over the weekend. Obviously, a really busy weekend for UVA men's basketball. But to kind of break down Ryan Odom, we're going to take this from a couple different angles. Let's welcome on Mike Barber. Mike, thanks for coming back on. It's been a weekend.
Yeah, busy. And I think probably the least surprising hire of this offseason cycle. But as I wrote this week, that doesn't make it a bad hire. Just because everyone immediately thought, hey, Ryan Odom, maybe that's a sign that Ryan Odom's a pretty good fit for this Virginia job right now.
Yeah, I think your words were kind of right on the money. It's what I've been kind of alluding to is, you know, the safe hire is not necessarily the wrong hire. And, you know, I kind of compared it to Mark Pope at Kentucky. Like, there's a guy, obviously, obvious connections to the program, has had some success. He wasn't the sexy hire, but he was probably the right hire, you know, looking back at it and seeing what he's done in year one at Kentucky and kind of how he's kind of reinvigorated that fan base, which had, you know, even with good teams under John Calipari, it kind of leveled off. And, you know, now obviously Calipari making a nice little run in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, not to mention all that's going on at the same time. You love how these coaching searches work, that, you know, the rest of the world doesn't stop just because you're trying to focus on this stuff.
Yeah, I did a story for Hoops HQ this morning on Richard Pitino, and one of his answers was basically, hey, coaches look like bad guys, but what are we supposed to do? The portal opens Monday, and if you're taking another job, especially if your season's certainly over, like, you need to be in place and you need to be working. And yeah, does it sound callous to pick up and leave? But I mean, look at what Will Wade did. I mean, Will Wade just laid it out on the table. He said, hey, here's what's happening. No secrets. We're all on the same page. Now let's go win some basketball games. And what did his team do? They went out and beat Clemson. So I think we're going to see maybe not completely the Will Wade approach, but I think we're going to see a little bit more honesty up front and ownership of coaches who are saying exactly what Richard Pitino said, which is, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, exactly. And I think at a certain point, you know, coaches are going to try to, you know, kick the can down the road a little bit, just so they don't talk about it in the wrong context, the wrong time. I mean, you can go to any comment section after a coach gives one of those answers and you get like 50 different things like, oh, he should have talked about it. Or, oh no, like, this is the right way to do it. Yeah, you never know. You can't appease everyone, but I encourage you. We've talked about Ryan Odom for weeks here on this podcast. Going back, you know, we talked to David Teal right after Virginia got bounced from the ACC tournament. It kind of seemed like Odom was the guy for a while now. But we talked about with him and some other podcasts. And then obviously Greg Medea from the Daily Progress jumped on with me right after the baseball game on Friday night to do an emergency podcast. So we've talked about it a bunch. But what I want to do here today is kind of talk through Ryan Odom, his past, some of the, you know, appeal of this hire, but also talk about some of the concerns that, you know, kind of people have with it. And then the second half, we'll get into play style, his recruiting, and just kind of how he is as a coach these past couple of years at VCU. But Mike, let's start with this weekend, busy, but, you know, a kind of good sign for Virginia and then kind of embarking on this new era here. Ryan Odom, the news breaks Friday night, that he was going to be the guy at Virginia, kind of what we all had been expecting. And we thought maybe we'd get an official announcement on Friday. Then Ryan Odom officially announced Saturday morning. He arrives at JPJ that day. He's in his office, delivers a message. And then Chance Mallory recommits that afternoon to UVA to give Ryan Odom his first recruit as a UVA coach. You know, check that off the list a couple hours after you get there. Busy weekend, but, you know, it's pushing things forward, I think.
Yeah, I think what you don't want to be is the program that's in limbo, the program that's waiting. And Look, I mean, the truth is, people were talking about Ryan Odom to Virginia as soon as Tony Bennett
Yes.
retired. And I talked to somebody, a source at VCU in the preseason, who said to me, "We, of course, want our team to do well. We almost don't want them to do too well right now because we don't want Ryan to be too attractive to UVA." Because I think the sense was that even though Ryan Odom has certainly been a job jumper, he's jumped up, right? He's gone up level each time. I think the sense was he probably wouldn't leave VCU after 2 years for most jobs. Now, two of the ones that came open, Virginia and Villanova, I think they fell into that exception category. But yeah, timing wise, if you're Virginia, I think you have to be happy with the way this went. You had your guy, you obviously had it lined up, set up, everything, everything done except for the formal signature. We just talked about Will Wade, right? And maybe this new way of Ryan. For better or worse, is old school. His father, Dave Odom, obviously longtime college coach, very old school himself. Ryan was not going to talk about this. Ryan wasn't going to talk to his team while their season was going on about this. It's not dishonesty. But then Ryan also wasn't going to let the news come out officially until he did those things. So that was a delay there a little bit. Just different ways of doing it. Ryan, very old school, dad and the all of that. But I think if you're Virginia, you need to be really happy that you got your guy, it went quickly, and you're in position to move forward. And then you mentioned the Chance Mallory news. And I love that because, one, there's a great connection between Chance and Coach and Ryan. So that was good. I think Chance, and he said it in one of his interviews, he wanted an excuse to be at Virginia. He still wanted to be at Virginia. So it was like, unless you bungle this hire, I want this to work. And Ryan Odom is a guy who made it work. And I thought for some people who maybe were like, eh, about Ryan Odom being hired, then immediately getting that headline, it's like, okay, let's give this guy a chance. Hey, all he's done is win everywhere he's been. And he's built up programs. And he's just done such a great job. I love the fact that Ryan Odom will be, and I know we're going to talk a little bit this after the break, but you're keeping the defensive identity that you had under Tony Bennett. Defense first, right? That's such a big part of what Virginia is. It's such a big part of what Ryan is. It's just a different style. And we'll see, of course, what he does at Virginia, but certainly his teams in the past have been known for getting up in your grill and pressing and pressuring. So I love everything about it, but I particularly love the timing.
Real quick on the Chance Mallory point, I've been thinking a lot about this since his recommitment and just ever since it kind of seemed like it was going to go that way once, that Ryan Odom was lined up and then Chance Mallory was going to stay at home and stay in Charlottesville. I've known Chance since, he was an eighth grader. He's about 4 foot tall, coming off the bench, just jacking up threes. And I just think there couldn't have been a more perfect first guy in the door for Ryan Odom on this team. Obviously, we'll see with how the current roster shakes out, but as far as obviously the hometown guy, obviously, he's a point guard, that helps as well. But just character-wise and just kind of the connections that Chance and Mallory has had to not only Virginia but just people in the building. You saw like current guys on the Virginia roster, guys that are in the transfer portal, were liking and interacting with Chance Mallory's commitment because they were happy for him. Like he's the kind of guy that you want to get behind. And then also, I think just play style wise, he's going to fit really well into what Ryan Odom's doing. Can speed up the ball, and can also shoot from deep, create offense on his own. Defensively, I know he's only 5'10" and on a good day, but he's tough. He's strong. There was a game last season where he had 20 rebounds in a game. This guy is not going to back down from anything. So, as far as the first recruit that you land for Ryan Odom, I don't think he could do much better.
Yeah, and you saw on social media, right, the pictures of Chance with Justin Anderson, and like, right, so it really felt like Chance Mallory was saying, "Hey, Virginia, don't screw this up, and I'm yours." And so the fact that he commits, I mean, that tells you a couple things. One, it tells you Ryan and his relationship with Ryan. And again, I think Ryan's a really good coach, but it also shows you that Tony Bennett, Ron Sanchez, Jason Wilford, those guys sold Virginia. Coaches always talk about it, right? You're committing to the school, not the coach. Well, we know that's not true anymore. Guys transfer to be with the coaches. But that tells you that Chance Mallory took that growing up kind of a UVA fan. And when they showed him what this place was about, he bought into that too, right? He wanted that to work. And then when they left, he said, okay, if you give me a coaching staff that I can get behind, I'm still going to make this work. And, I mean, you don't see that often. Usually what you see is the change, everybody decommits, and they often end up somewhere else. And sometimes it's NIL. I think this is also a great sign. And I don't know Chance's details in terms of NIL. I think this is a great sign, though, that tells you Virginia is at least competitive, because what happens when you decommit is somebody else goes and says, what's left in our budget? Let's go snag this guy. There's a lot of reasons not to be lured away, and money isn't the only one. But I think it tells you that Virginia, with everything, is in position to be competitive, and a really good sign, I think.
And real quick, just to give props to Carla Williams, because Chance even said it during his, announcement that like Carla's the one kind of keeping him up to date, almost acting as the lead recruiter, especially once Ron Sanchez was kind of relieved of his duties at the end of the season. So it was really a team effort, and honestly, yeah, it was one of those situations where you're like, all right, like let's just get this over the line. Let's keep him here. And Ryan Odom, obviously the connection that he has there with Chance Mallory. His sister worked in the VCU athletics program with Ryan Odom. So there's a good long-term connection there.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Let's get into more Ryan Odom here. Well, can I get your initial thoughts? But just to go through the bio real quick, and I told Mike before we got on here, I'm gonna go through the bio one more time just because, I think it's important just to kind of know all the intricacies of everything, how he's tied to this program in so many different ways. Obviously, his father, Dave Odom, was an assistant coach at UVA under Terry Holland from 1982 to 1989. There's all the stories. He was a ball boy, riding his bike up to U-Haul to see practice. There's the picture of him at a camp in a UVA shirt, and then got his start in coaching under another Terry Holland assistant and Seth Greenberg, who I know you're familiar with, Mike. Temporarily lived in the Odom home, Seth Greenberg did when he moved there, so a good connection there. Odom got his start with Greenberg at UCF and then later at Virginia Tech for a few years there as an assistant, and then since then this is his fifth stop as a head coach. Lenore Ryan. Real quick, there was an interim coaching staff at Charlotte when he was there, and he was on staff there with current UVA assistant Orlando Vandross. So there's a connection there. But Lenore Ryan, then he went to UMBC, and then from UMBC to Utah State, then to VCU, and out of Virginia. And in those previous four stops, he's made the NCAA tournament every stop. And then also, real quick, I saw the picture kind of going around. He's a Hampton, Sydney grad. Not too far from Charlottesville, of course. And there's a picture of him with Longwood head coach Griff Aldrich and UC Irvine head coach Russell Turner, who's done a really good job out there as well. And it was just kind of cool to see how far back this goes for Odom and his connections. And obviously, there's a lot of rumors circulating around Griff Aldrich and maybe his connection to UVA as well right now. But just initial thoughts, Mike, as I go over that entire bio and just that there's a really strong connection here. When I talked to David Teal, he talked about Ryan just has an admiration for Virginia in this program.
Yeah, and when I was talking about, I don't think he would bolt VCU after 2 years unless it was a, this is kind of the job, right? This is
Yeah.
perfect. This is, how could you say no to this? With all of those stories are great, but they are good memories, right? Like those years, 7 years, five NCAA tournaments, Final Four in '84. I mean, it was until the Tony Bennett era. It was kind of the golden era of, and I know going back probably 82, 83, but that's kind of the golden era there for Virginia basketball. So yeah, Ryan's steeped in tradition here with UVA. It makes so much sense. I was talking, appearing on Luke Neer's radio show, and we were talking about, Luke says, I'm not a big believer in fit, right? Somebody's a fit, a good fit, a bad fit. And I get that. But I think when you have a perfect fit in terms of all of that, there's some value. And I think Ryan is a perfect fit because of the backstory story, because of, again, I call them old school. I think that works at Virginia. It certainly worked for Tony Bennett. Like Tony Bennett, and I'm not talking about X's and O's because I don't think Tony got enough credit for how much he adjusted and adapted within what he liked to do. But Tony was kind of an old school approach to things. So I think Ryan's history, youth, all of that, it just adds to the story of why this guy makes sense for this school right now.
I think if you just lay it down to a fit and his past connections, and that's the reason Ryan Odom got the job, you're selling it way too short, because obviously he's had a lot of success at different stops that he's gone to. And I always kind of I joke with some people just about culture and just the idea of that, and it's funny at times just how much we talk about it. But you're right, there is a good fit with Ryan Odom, and I think at times you've got to use that fit. To like just don't come in and be like, I got a good fit here, I've known the program. You got to use that to your advantage, I think, when you come in the door.
Yeah, look, I am a big believer that if you do the blind resume like we do for NCAA tournament selection, and you throw Ryan Odom's blind resume up there without his name and picture, you're going to be like, hey, that's pretty good, right? I mean, the guy has, like I said, he's won everywhere he's been. What he did at UMBC with the 320 win seasons, and then going out to Utah State and getting them to the NCAA his second year, 20 plus wins at VCU both years, making the NCAA this year. I mean, his track record. If you go blind resume style, I think people are like, yeah, that's really good. Then you add in everything we just talked about. To me, in a lot of ways, it was a no-brainer. And look, I know people wanted Shaka Smart and people talked about Richard Pitino. Like, I get all, I don't know. Like, to me, Ryan Odom has the chance to be, you want to go, but like what Mike Krzyzewski when he was hired from Army, right? Everyone was like, hey, good young coach. We'll see what he, I mean, Ryan to me is more established, more accomplished. But has a chance to have a long run at Virginia. And it's just, I don't know. I'm always surprised by people's reaction in coaching searches to what I think are really good hires. I think people get excited about the wrong hires, and I think people are kind of blah about really good hires.
Yeah, and I think this is a hire that is going to be kind of have a high approval rating nationally. I think a lot of people, Ryan Odom was firmly on the target list for a lot of schools. We talked about the Villanova early on in NC State. His name came up down there, and I think if it wasn't this year for Ryan Odom, it was going to be next year. Like, this is a guy that was firmly on the who got next. He got next. He's got the next job, and it just so happens that this Virginia job opened at this exact time, and now Ryan Odom gets to step in. We talked about kind of his track record. One of the big things that people that don't like the hire are talking about is the NCAA tournament track record. He's 1-3 in his three appearances now, and the only win came in 2018. I don't know if you heard about this one,
I
Mike.
did. I did. I think I was
Were
there.
you there in Charlotte
Yeah.
that
Hell yeah.
fateful night? Yeah, but of course, when Virginia lost to a 16-seeded UMBC team, that was his only win in the NCAA tournament. But since then, Utah State, VCU, I don't think these are programs where you go to and you like the minimum is you have to win an NCAA tournament game. I think you're happy to get into the NCAA tournament. VCU's obviously made some really big runs, but it's not a given when you're coming from a mid-major.
Yeah, I mean, I think losing a first round tournament game with Utah State, losing a first round tournament game with VCU, I don't care. I really don't. Like, in terms of evaluating Ryan as a coach, it just, if you're at a Power Four school and you're in the tournament, 5 out of 8 years or whatever it is, and you're never advancing, we got a problem. We got something we're going to talk about. But if you're at Utah State, he was an underdog. VCU, I thought they were going to win that game. I thought they had a chance to win the next one. It was disappointing. And look, as much as we say, what are you going to do about it? Like, he was going through some of this job stuff. And that is distracting, I'm sure. And that's not to say that he didn't put everything into that. But I just, it's not a big enough body of work. And it's not a big enough body of work with teams that you look at and say should advance, right? If you're a casual basketball fan, are you picking up your bracket and thinking, where's Utah State? Let me move them. I know they're going to know, right? Like Duke, you're looking on their bracket. Where's Duke? I want to move them on, right? You might have said St. John's. Okay, you'd be wrong this year. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain teams you go into the tournament, you say, I'm looking for their name because they're moving on. I don't know that Ryan's had one of those teams. So until he does, I just don't think that's a real metric to evaluate.
And I, Let's look at this matchup this year. I did not pick VCU because I think they're playing BYU, close to BYU. It's a pretty close drive. You could talk about the altitude and all that. I've been to BYU to cover a football game. The altitude's real. I tried running. I tried doing a run and I got halfway up a mountain and I turned around. It's real. But look at this BYU team. They have won 11 out of their last 12 games. Guess who their only loss is to? Houston. This is a really hot BYU team, so I'm not putting much stock in, VCU not getting this. I thought they had a chance, and it was a decently close game in the end. It was 80 to 71, but it was a really hot BYU team. And sometimes, we've seen the matchups. You don't get the right matchups.
Yeah, look, if and this is going to sound like a knock on Coach Bennett, but like if you're losing as the better seed repeatedly, then I'll talk about it. I'll say, okay, what's going on? What is happening that you've got the on paper better team? And then we can talk about, an injury to Dre Hunter before UMBC, the short practice COVID mess before Ohio. Every game's got, I mean, Kihei's weird, not calling the timeout. So every one of these, you can break down that way too. But look, at least there was a pattern there. There's no pattern with Ryan Odom of losing games he should win in the NCAA tournament. I think that's people who are nitpicking and looking for a reason not to like the hire. Again, let's see what Ryan Odom does with Virginia. If he can get them to the tournament year after year, that's number one. Can he advance, which wasn't happening? I mean, since Virginia beat Texas Tech to win the national championship,
Still
they
waiting.
haven't won an NCAA tournament game. So, yeah, let's see what Ryan Odom can do to reverse that trend.
Yeah, still waiting. And obviously, there's a lot of really close calls. And obviously, their last trip to the NCAA tournament did not end anywhere close. And Tony Bennett's what turned out to be Tony Bennett's final game. But real quick, just because people are talking about NCAA track record, Tony Bennett was 3-2 prior to arriving at UVA in the NCAA tournament. He had a good run there with Washington State. But I just think it's different. Washington State's at a different level, and he was taking over that Washington State kind of at a different time. He'd been there as an assistant under his dad and kind of got that transition process, which is pretty enviable to kind of be able to be in the program for a couple of years and then kind of slide into the head seat. So it's different. And like someone even commented that, Tony Bennett was a national coach of the year. You got to hire one of those guys. Go back and look at the list of national coach of the years recently. I guarantee you don't want to hire any of them, any of the achievable ones. Anthony Grant. I'm trying to think of some other recent ones, but it's not a great list.
Yeah, you can do a great job, have a great year, and that doesn't make you potentially a great coach or a great fit or a great program builder. And like moment in time, right? Like this Virginia program, and look, I think the Virginia job is a great job. I think the school, the campus, the facilities, being in the ACC, and I know the ACC is down, but I think all of that's great. The reality is, this is a rebuild. Like this roster is probably going to need a massive overhaul. Like that's probably the way this all shakes down. Certainly, there's going to be some guys that want to stay that Ryan wants to keep. There may be some guys Ryan wants to keep that he can't, that get away. And that's so. Show me a coach who's done that. Well, Ryan did that at UMBC. He turned around Utah State. VCU is a little different, right? VCU was in a strong place. He came in and won games with them. And again, in his first year, had to rebuild and that roster. And I thought did a great job at VCU because one of the last times I've covered him was his introductory press conference at VCU. They sent me to do a column. And I thought he had done such a marvelous job of connecting with the existing players so that guys who he wanted to keep felt like, okay. And he's also, brought guys with him at each stop. Guy from Utah State goes to VCU, looks pretty darn good, doesn't he? And that's happened along the way. So again, it's not just show me your record. It's how did you get there? And does it mirror some of what we're going to ask you to do in this job? And I think Ryan's track record says he can do the things you want to do. Like Virginia's somewhere in between rebuilding, right? Like UMBC or building and VCU, which is here's the keys. Make this thing keep going somewhere in between. And that's perfect because Ryan's got all that experience.
And that's the next topic I was going to hit on is this kind of how he builds a roster. You look at UMBC, obviously you joke rebuilding. It's actually just building. He was building something at UMBC. And that's a lot of development. Then you go to Utah State, and if you look at kind of the rosters he had there, it was a lot of development there too, because he kind of inherited a couple players like a Max Scholga, Sean Bairstow, even Steven Ashworth, who's had a great NCAA tournament until they got bounced against Auburn. But you saw big leaps from those guys at Utah State under Ryan Odom. And then you get to VCU, and the cupboard wasn't bare, but Mike Rhodes took some of those players when he was going out the door, and some of those guys transferred out. So it was not a completed roster for him. So he had to bring some Utah State transfers over. He's also found other transfers from other spots. You look at the Jack Clark kid, who'd been around the ACC for years. He looked really good this year. Philip Russell, another one who looks good for VCU. So he's found some of those kind of hidden gems in the transfer portal, and he's also got some good young players on this VCU team that got some minutes off the bench this year. So he's done it in a couple different ways, and I think this year's UVA team is going to have to do it in a couple different ways.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what I like about his experience, right? He's been other places. He's seen different ways to do it. He's walked different walks. He's walked different paths. I think all of that experience helps you be ready in such a changing and right. It's every year something changes about the way NIL works, the portal works, the timing, the calendar. But I think Ryan's done enough different things in enough different places in enough different ways. It's a little harder to get a curveball by him. Right. And that's not a knock on the older guys, but I think older guys, they've got their rhythm, they've got their way, and now they're adjusting in the batter's box. Whereas I think Ryan's kind of going in there and he's hit some of these moving pitches, right? He's hit the off-speed stuff, so to speak. It's and I'm not trying to say that, the other guys are only fastball hitters, but you get my point. Like I think his career has been in the time period of adjusting and moving and changing. And I think he's very adaptable and that will serve him well.
The one thing I will say that Ryan will have to do that he has not done yet in his career is build something sustainable over the long term, because we've talked about it. He's jumped around, and I'm not saying he can't. It's just something he hasn't had to do yet, because he's kind of been moving up the coaching pecking order from job to job. So that's going to be the interesting thing, is kind of how does this look long term? What's his vision? That's, I'm sure, stuff that he'll get asked on Monday, is kind of what's his long-term vision for the program and kind of all that stuff. It'll be interesting kind of hearing that from him on Monday. But what I guess what just overall thoughts on the hire, as we kind of wrap things up here.
Yeah, it's probably come through, but I'm a big Ryan Odom fan. The year after they upset Virginia, I came up and spent the entire day at UMBC with him for a story on, a year later, what's changed. And he took me on a tour of their facilities, showed me all the trinkets in his office, told me the backstory behind everything, let me come to practice. He just, and again, smaller school trying to sell it, no doubt that's a big part of it. But there's a way you can do it, and there's a way you can do it where it's like, okay, this guy's not really engaged. And Ryan was so engaged and really, won me over in that regard. I thought the way he handled the post game after beating Virginia was incredibly classy and really, stood out and impressed. And then, meeting him again at VCU to see, maybe a little grayer hair and, but like, here's the same guy. And he's, I think it's telling that he left UMBC and he was so important to that program. And he left Utah State after getting them 26 wins in the tournament. And he left VCU. And I don't get a ton in any of those three places of angst, of anger, of, this guy, because it's just not there because of who he is. And look, there's going to be fans who are disappointed in all three of those places, no doubt. But I think there is, I think it speaks a lot to Ryan and the way he carries himself that he's kind of been this career jumper and people have been kind of like, yeah, okay, good. Like, keep moving up. You're doing a great job. And I think he's been leaving programs in good places. It'd be interesting to go back. I haven't done this yet. I will before the presser, but what's happened with the teams when he's left? Overall, I think they've been in pretty good shape. I think to your point about he hasn't really had to build a program, I don't know if that's totally true. Like, I think he's been building them and then he's gotten another opportunity, but I think he's left schools in pretty good positions. And that is a sign that he was building and develop. And I think so. Yeah, I that was a long way to say I like Ryan Odom. I thought as soon as Tony Bennett announced that if Ron Sanchez didn't win an NCAA tournament game and they made a change, which is what I thought would be the barometer. I thought if Ron could win an NCAA tournament game, they would give him at least year two of this rebuild. When that didn't happen, to me, Ryan Odom is a home run hire.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about Utah State, they've already had another coach leave since, Ryan Odom was there. And now they got another guy who got another Utah State team to the NCAA tournament. And he's now being looked at in some coaching circles. VCU, I have no doubts, just as a guy who grew up in Richmond, like they're going to hire someone and it's going to be good. And they're going to continue this track record. They haven't had to fire a coach in decades. They just
It is
leave.
wild, though. I've talked to Ed McLaughlin, the AD there, about this. A little bit kind of like JMU football. The pressure that these ADs are under because of the success and the streak of VCU keeps changing coaches and they keep winning and they keep making the NCAA tournament. And that speaks to the job Ed's done in evaluating coaches. It speaks to the things they've put in place there in Richmond that don't leave when the coach walks out the door. But man, it's a lot of pressure, right? Like JMU football's done that, where it's like the fans expect you to keep winning and don't want a rebuild. They don't want, they want it to keep rolling. And kudos to Jeff Bourne before he retired at JMU, and certainly to Ed McLaughlin at VCU, who just keep picking winners. And good luck, Ed, because you got to do it again now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another thing is someone points a lot of people point out that, some of these VCU coaches weren't successful in their first stop after leaving VCU, but you look at them now, every single one of them pretty much has been successful in another stop. You look at Capel at Pitt now, and even at Oklahoma, he had some good years there, some good teams. Obviously, Blake Griffin comes to mind. Anthony Grant now at Dayton. Will Wade has been we'll see what he does at NC State now, but he's been good at McNeese State. He was even pretty good at LSU before everything kind of, hit the fan.
Will's problems had nothing to do with coaching
Yeah,
his
exactly.
team.
Shaka Smart at Texas, didn't go great there, but then he's rebounded at Marquette. So you've seen guys kind of succeed post VCU in different ways, but I would also argue Odom's coming at this from at a different point in his coaching career because he's been at other stops and had the success before that. So it's not like, all right, you had your first real success at VCU and now you kind of jump from there. So it'll be interesting. As far as ACC, I know there's been so much pressure on these ACC schools with job openings this year. It's like, we got to get more coaching talent in this conference. How do you think overall Odom fits into this, but also the other jobs?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Like I think Ryan Odom, Will Wade, those two certainly. We'll see what Luck does down at Florida State, and we'll see what Lucas does at Miami. I thought the timing on that one was so weird, like to leave a
Bizarre.
potential national champion, but it's the reality of the time. Look, some of those are coaches who are going to kind of make their name. I think Ryan and Will have to work out because they are established coaches. They are coaches that other people wanted, right? This wasn't you found a diamond in the rough. A lot of people talked about Ryan Odom. Okay. A lot of people talked about Will Wade. Okay. Those are guys on everybody's radar. Great job, Boo Corrigan, going and getting your guy. Great job, Carla Williams, going and getting your guy. Now the pressure's on you, Will. The pressure's on you, Ryan, because they do need to fill that void. We've lost so many great coaches in this conference. And it sounds silly to say, but you just think about like, they don't do them anymore, but they used to print like the conference media guide, and you'd have a page that had all the coaches. And like those are like collectible posters when you think back to Krzyzewski and Dean, or Krzyzewski and Roy and Boeheim and Larrañaga and Pitino when he was at Louisville. You got to get back to that vibe. And I think that if Ryan Odom wins for a couple years, people are going to start viewing him in certainly not that light, but like he's headed on that path. I think if Will Wade wins for a couple of years at State, people are going to be like, hey, this guy's been pretty good a few different places. I think they'll answer that question, but those two guys in particular have to deliver for the conference.
Yeah, couldn't say it better myself. Mike, appreciate you jumping on here. We're going to be back here on the Who's On podcast just after the break. Thank you to Mike Barber for coming on, talking a little bit of Ryan Odom before his introductory press conference coming up on Monday afternoon at John Paul Jones Arena. But just after me and Mike recorded, we had a little bit of breaking news coming out. Matt Norlander reporting that Longwood head coach Griff Aldrich is leaving his post to come to Virginia to join Ryan Odom's staff as the associate head coach. Griff Aldridge, just if for those that don't really know or haven't followed along with over the last couple 7 years, he's really made some big strides with that program, taking the Lancers to the program's first ever NCAA tournament appearances in 2022 and 2024, and finishing with a career record of 127 and 100 there with the Lancers. Also, fun fact about Griff Aldridge is that he has a degree from the UVA School of Law, so a little bit of a homecoming for Griff Aldridge as well. Also reuniting with his old college buddy and Ryan Odom. The two played basketball back in the day at Hampton Sydney, and then also Griff Aldridge really got his start in coaching on that UMBC staff as the director of basketball operations back then. So it's a cool full circle moment. It's going to be really interesting to see how Ryan Odom kind of puts this rest of this coaching staff together. And I know at the beginning there was some talk about, Griff Aldridge possibly coming in as the general manager for the program. But now that I think that he's going to be in this associate head coach role, what you're going to see probably is kind of similar to how football does it, where, there you've got the deputy athletic director and Tyler Jones working with Tony Elliott, with the player personnel department, and also with Lo Davis from CAF Futures, and kind of working in tandem there. That's probably what you're going to see with basketball, with Deputy Athletic Director Wally Walker, who's been kind of in this post for a little bit now. He used to be the general manager of the Seattle Supersonics in the NBA for a good bit there. So he's got experience kind of being in that general manager role. So I think he'll probably work in tandem with Ryan Odom and the rest of this coaching staff as they try to build out this roster. And that's going to be a huge thing in the coming weeks, as we get into the transfer portal that is now open as of Monday. We're all getting ready for this introductory press conference, but the work is underway to kind of build out this roster. And it's going to be interesting to kind of see some of the developments that happen. There seems to be some positive signs about some roster retention. But I think also at the same time, it's going to be up to Odom to see how much of retention he wants and how much, does he want to go out and find some players that maybe better fit his system? Obviously, we talked about earlier in the podcast, he's already got his first, high school recruit and Chance Mallory signed on. We'll kind of see where it goes from there. Coaching staff wise, one thing I've been talking about a lot as we've kind of gotten up to this Ryan Odom decision, one thing I've talked a lot about as we've kind of waited to see who the next head coach is I think there will be some connection to the Tony Bennett era on this coaching staff. We talked about the connection with Orlando Vandross and Ryan Odom, and they previously coached together. But further than that, there's three young assistants on Virginia's bench right now, and Isaiah Wilkins, Kyle Guy, and Chase Coleman. I think, Ryan's gonna he did this at VCU where he brought in some guys from the past to kind of be part of this bench and kind of have a connection to VCU. I kind of see that is where he might look again. Especially with a program that has been so successful in the near in the recent recent past. So we'll see how the rest of this kind of fills out. And one of the more interesting things that I always tell people, when you're going to these big introductory press conferences, it's not, you go in to ask questions to Ryan Odom and stuff on the podium, but the real thing that you're looking for, who's there? What players are there? What coaches are there? What other administrators are there? How about, other head coaches at the school? Who is there to kind of witness this and kind of show their support? I think it's going to be the really interesting thing that we see on Monday. So that is going to do it for the Who's On podcast. Appreciate you for joining us again. We have a lot more basketball to talk this rest of the week. We will be back again after Ryan Odom's press conference on Monday later in the week, kind of discussing that and discussing the opening of the transfer portal. So thanks for joining us here on the Who's On podcast. We'll see you later in the week.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.